Chocolate Percheron. Suddenly I was confronted with a Brobdingnagian brindle striped pit bulldog. It must have weighed 190 pounds. He was carrying 65 pounds in his lower mandible. His dentures averaged 7.5 inches. His eyes were red-rimmed, baleful, and bloodshot. He came caterwauling over the greensward, obviously dedicated to the primitivistic proposition of separating my thoracic regions from my nether parts. But I was scared. Now they told us in Bible selling school, for goodness sake, don't show fear when confronted by a hostile animal, for an animal can smell a man's fear. Well, I pondered that for a minute, my friends. And then I decided it was just a little bit hypocritical to try and act courageous when you're standing in a strange yard in Dade County, Florida, developing involuntary runs in your Gold Cup socks. Nonetheless, I took another step in the direction of the house. The dog hunkered down in a state of apparent befuddlement. I took another step, and he launched himself directly at my Adam's apple and came floating across the breeze like a malignant caricature of the Goodyear blimp swaddled in a mammoth raccoon coat. Friends, I would like to leave my canine adversary in suspended animation and describe to you the merchandise that we were selling that summer in Miami. Friends, it was a big family Bible that had a pebble grain monogahyde cover with an 8x10 Technicolor picture of Jesus on the front. Take it home and set it up in the corner and those eyes would follow you all around the room. It had a 75-page concordance, a map of the travels of Moses, the lives of the saints. It was a bargain at $38 and weighed just under 14 pounds. Friends, I stand before you tonight. Readily admit that I'm anything but a praying man. But in this moment of spiritual duress, I roll my eyes heavenward in search of divine guidance. And suddenly the words of the scripture washed over my troubled spirit like balm. Simply this: that man is put on this earth to hold dominion over the animals and the beasts of the field. So it was with a sense of incipient rectitude that I raised the good book on high and smote this deviant brute at the base of the skull with the word of the Lord, causing him to undergo a dramatic religious conversion in midair. Suddenly his eyes were suffused with the joy that surpasseth understanding. He hit the ground in an attitude of supplication and instantly went into convulsions of ecstasy. Now, I knew I wasn't about to sell a book at that particular address with a family bow-wow going through terminal maneuvers on the front lawn. So I got in my automobile and I drove off full of vainglorious pride. But I had scarcely reached the end of the street when I was so overwhelmed with an abiding sense of contrition that I turned about with fear and trembling in my heart over the injuries I might have visited upon my little friend. Imagine my joy when, upon regaining that sight of fancied triumph, I found my little friend up on his feet again with a message of joy and hope blazing forth from his countenance, taking the halting steps of a creature reborn. And I'm proud to say that ever since this turning point in his life, he has been a steady worshiper at the Holiness Church down there at the corner in Hialeah every Wednesday night at prayer meeting time. Hallelujah and amen. I wish I was down in St. Augustine, sitting in my chair, one arm around this old guitar, the other arm around my dear.
Thank you. Well, I've been coming here for a long time, and one of the great pleasures of coming to this festival is seeing a lot of the same faces over and over again, and some I've seen now for 18 years. None more so than Cousin Thelma, Evelyn Beers Bernstein, and of course Florida's Black Hat Troubadour, Mr. Will McLean. And like I said in the song, while I'm not a praying man, there's something reverential and beautiful about a setting like this. And of course, one who spends his time away from institutions often hears voices in the trees, or is it the wind, or the waters? For my part, I'd like to welcome all of you here and say that it's always an honor and a joy to be here in White Springs, Florida, in my own home state, at this fine festival. And I hope it'll go on forever. This is the first time I've ever been this sentimental. But this is the first night, and I'll raise plenty of cane in the next 4 days, and I hope you'll come to every show. And I'd like to close my portion of the first night out with a song which I think bespeaks reverence. And appropriately enough, it was written by Big Bill Brunsey, a black man, a self-styled farmer, but a man who became one of the most articulate folk singing voices of our time. He went to Chicago first, legend tells us, in the employ of the railroad as a Pullman porter, and stayed to become one of the most celebrated blues singers, kind of a country shouter of his time. And later on, he was to be kind of an ambassador of folk song abroad. This is a serious and a beautiful song that Big Bill Brunsey told about a kind of a benefactor, a fellow named Joe Turner. Who, like Pretty Boy Floyd and Robin Hood and Jesse James, robbed from the rich and gave to the poor. Except Joe Turner differed from the others in that he just showed up with the goods. He didn't have to rob anybody. Kind of a humanitarian. Brunsey called this song the Joe Turner Talking Blues Number 5. But this story happened a long, long time ago, back in 1892. There was a terrible flood that year. The people lost their crops and everything. They lost their homes and everything they had. And the only man they knew to help them was a fellow named Joe Turner. Joe Turner was a man known to help all the poor people. He would come at night when they slept, and he would leave the things they needed on their doorstep. And they would come out in the morning and find these things, and they would bow down and moan his name. They tell me Joe Turner been here and gone. 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 Then they would go out hunting for rabbits, coons, possums, anything they could catch to eat. Some of the time they would catch something, most of the time they wouldn't. They would come back and they would find flour, sugar, meat, and molasses laid out for them, and they would know that Joe Turner had been and left food for them. And they would bow down and moan his name. Here and gone. Tell me Joe Turner been here and gone. Tell me Joe Turner been here and gone. Tell me Joe Turner been here and gone. Then they would go out looking for things. They would come back and they would find wood to build fires. Then they would be happy, for they had food to eat and wood and clothing for warmth. Then the people would come together as families in their wagons. They would come winding out of the heart of the forest. The children laughing and playing over the wagon beds. The women dreaming and the men squinting down the leafy tunnel of trees. And on through the dusty morning they would come to a place where there was a store, a church, a school. And then the people would come down from out of the wagons and spread the linen low over the ground and the hot covered dishes and the games that pin the tail on the donkey in the three-legged race, broom straws on a fiddle string. Don't you know some old fool would start a-doing a little dance? Church, they'd make those bells ring in time with the dancing. People becoming tired of the singing and the dancing and the ringing of the bells would find their way to the wagons, and into the forest they would go again. The children spent now from the frolicking and the games and the ringing of the bells. Sleep would overtake them there on the beds of wagons, the women dreaming still, the men squinting down the leafy tunnel of trees, the ghostly moon crawling over the trunks of trees, the hint of wood smoke from away back amongst the pines, and the wagons dropping off one by one as the driveways appeared. One wagon now going on into the heart of the forest. On toward dawn, the shape of a chimney, an eve, the moon under clouds and the lightning bugs low over the ground like stars frozen in crystal. The woman down and in the house and the window gone to light now with the lantern inside, the man watering the horse, and back across the yard he comes. The two of them stand on the top step of the house, the lantern light warm against their backs from within, the cold light of morning racing over the trees from outside, the birth of a day. What do they think about and what do they talk about there? What do they feel? There are voices all around, and is it the wind in the trees, or is it something the water said? Maybe all they can do is thank Joe Turner. Thank you very much. Thank you, Cousin Phil.
Like the cloggers, Gamble will be here all weekend. He'll be in some special workshops. I hope all of you, we'll see all of you again in the morning at 10 o'clock promptly. Until then, good night, and drive carefully. Good morning now. Let's listen to our bagpiper play the old rustic bridge, a Highland ballad, the skyboat song, a slow march, and Gilly Column, the sword dance. Then he'll play Walkinside, a retreat, the Green Hills of Tyrol, a retreat, and Tail Tottle, a dancing reel.
Thank you.
Lest you don't know, that was Mr. Percy Hamilton of Jacksonville. Percy recently took part in the Scottish Festival over at Mandarin, and maybe some of you from Jacksonville recognize him. Now, the chairman of our Board of Trustees, Dr. Ed Fleming.
Thank you, Doctor. Well, with the shrill cry of the bagpipes, we open the 26th annual Florida Folk Festival. And I hope that you will be able to enjoy every minute of it. Those of you who can only stay for today, have all the fun that you can. Those that you're going to stay for the 3 or 4 days, enjoy yourself totally. Become immersed in the music, the fun, the dancing, and make this a real old-timey festival. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you, Cousin Tom.
Now, while we're real happy to have our Indians back, they haven't been here since we moved the festival from Labor Day, to Labor Day. But they are here because we're back in May, and we're real happy. There are some things I need to tell you while they're getting set up. They always give me lots of announcements to make, and I'm real happy to make them. The first I want to make is that the FFA boys from Jasper are selling the programs. And you need a program. It's a great souvenir in the first place, and it tells you where the foods are down by the gate. And I want to tell you that we have free shuttle buses running from the parking area and from here down to the food. So some of you weaklings who can't get down there, ride the bus. And you young'uns, don't fill it up so the old folks can't get on it. Now, and if they get on there, put them off. The crafts are right over here. And, oh, we have wonderful workshops. Consult your program about the workshops. We have workshops down on the old stage near the Vittles. We have workshops set up down near the boat landing. We have workshops set up under one chicky right out here in the middle of everything. We have a storytelling workshop at 2 o'clock this afternoon on the back porch of the museum. And we, if you're interested in tale-telling, that's for you. But there's something for everybody. Now, I don't want Aunt to see anybody fussing about the sun. Isn't it wonderful to have the sun? And I know that it's going to make freckles all day long. We're not even going to discuss the weather. So that's enough of that. It's important for me to pay tribute to these good-looking gentlemen over here under this pretty little gazebo. They are our sound. And I can't tell you how grateful we are to Stereo 90 of Jacksonville, who are running it for us, who set it up for us in return for taping. They are taping the whole show. You know, all 26 of our festivals have been taped. And they are now in our archives, and most of them have been audited. And we just have a tremendous treasure trove of folkiana here. And we are very, very grateful. But we are grateful to you all. Long may you wave. Are you Indians ready? Are you ready? Good. All right. The Order of the Arrow, Troop 4, Tampa, sponsored by the First Christian Church of Tampa, are here to perform for us. Let's clap them onto the stage.
I'm happy to see such a large crowd here, but I first must warn you, this is a rain dance, but it usually takes a good 24 hours. It's never failed. This first dance is a special treat. It's the Hopi Indian Snake Dance from the Hopi Pueblo in Arizona. And when the Hopi Indians do it, they use live rattlesnakes. We do use live snakes, but they're non-venomous. So if they do get loose, just sit still. We'll go get them. The snake dance is the culmination of week-long activities directed toward praying for a good year, basically rain for the crops. The reason they use snakes is they believe the great spirits are underground. The snakes also live underground, so they try to communicate their wishes to the snakes. And at the end of the dance, they let the snakes go to communicate to the great spirit. When the Indians did dance, and even bitten by the rattlesnakes, they amazingly didn't die. They prepared for this. They fasted. They had strenuous physical exercise. They drank the black potion, which apparently gave them some immunity to the snake bites. If these snakes do bite our boys, they have to keep dancing. And it never has failed to rain within 48 hours of this dance. Just a little forewarning. Thank you.
The evil spirits from the area before we bring out the dancers. He is the one that controls the dance. Between he and the drummer, the dancers know what to do. Now that the evil spirits have been taken away from the ring, the snakes are washed, and then they're sprinkled with cornmeal, which was the basis of the Indians' diet. The snakes that we're using here are the Florida red rat snake, Florida yellow rat snake, water snake, black snake, and the last one you just saw is 6.5-foot boa constrictor. That is not a native to Florida, by the way.
thank you for your applause. We're glad you enjoyed it. The boys really worked and practiced hard. I just wanted to let you know that today we will be holding workshops over at the old stage, which is over near the food concession stands. We're going to also build an authentic Indian teepee around 1 o'clock for those of you interested in seeing one go up, and the insides of one will give tours. They have two other dances they'll be performing over there, also answering any questions you have on Indian lore. Thank you.
Well, no snake got away, and that was good. My favorite was that big old boa constrictor. Don't you wish you had him for a pet? I have my fingers and my toes crossed. We can't have a Florida folk festival without our Florida cracker. And I know that by now, well, I guess we have some ignoramuses out there who don't know what a Florida cracker is. We get the name from the fact that in the olden days, the cowboys, the Indian cowboys, the black cowboys, the white cowboys, driving the cattle along the trail, cracked their whips over the heads of the cattle or the stock to move them along. Hence the term Florida cracker and Georgia cracker. And we have an honest-to-goodness, sure enough, real one here in our good friend Curly Deacle. Let's watch him.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be back at the Folk Festival again. I always look forward to this. And as Cousin Thelma said a while ago and mentioned about the Florida crackers, I'd like to add just a little bit to that, if I may. We get our name, the Florida crackers, from the old original cowboys here years ago. How many Florida crackers we got out there? Let's see, Florida crackers. How about Georgia crackers? Well, it's all the same thing. That's the way they get their names, is the crackers, because when the cowboys would come in back in the olden days when they would drive their cattle in through the woods and the cat claw briars and everything else, and you Florida crackers know what I'm talking about when I say cat claw briars and scrub oaks, and they could hear those whips a popping before they ever saw the cows coming in, and they would say, the crackers are coming. That meant that they were bringing the cows in. So that's really where we got our name, is the Florida crackers and the Georgia crackers, because they could hear those whips cracking. So I'm going to give you a little demonstration now about the bull whips and the popping of the bull whips. I was taught this at an early age by my father, Judge Deacle, and we kind of carry this thing on. It's more or less of a lost art. But I'm going to give you a little demonstration now of the manipulation of the bull whips.
witness a little? And I said, sure, we always want you to witness. He said, well, I used to work for the devil, but now I work for the Lord. Isn't that nice? And I want to tell you, too, that when I was a little girl, I was a little girl one time, growing up in Gainesville. I don't know how old I was, but I had to be 5, maybe. Buffalo Bill came to Gainesville and put on a show, his Wild West show, out in the fields where the University of Florida now stands. That's real Florida history. Now let's welcome our board of trustee chairman. Is a very versatile fella. He's not only a psychologist and a craftsman, and he's in a booth over here, but he's also picks and sings. So let's welcome to the stage Cousin Ed, Doc Fleming, and his friends from around Dade City and Sarasota.
While we're all getting set up, there's Pat and Dana who are going to be singing, and Peggy on the auto harp. And then we have the New Sand Mountain Wildcats, one of the great groups that you'll be hearing by themselves later, who very kindly consented to back us up. And these are all friends of long standing. And we're going to try some of the old Scotch ballads today. If you know them, and I think you'll recognize them, we sure would be pleasured if you'd sing along with us on any of these. The first one that we're going to do is a Jacobite air. I'm not quite sure who the Jacobites were. I think this was a religious group, a splinter group someplace. And the song was written by Lady John Scott. So maybe in some way this was related to Sir Walter Scott. I don't know. But if she was a lady, her husband had to be a sir. Are we about ready over there? Okay.
Ain't they a handsome group?